Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of Building the Church with God's Gifts, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 27, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul, of course, the context, you know, he's talking about the gifts, the manifestations of the Spirit. We've been looking at the body and the various functions of the body. And so in verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." And then he says, or asks, he says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" The answer is no. He says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." I wanted to come back to these because we looked at those things that were mentioned in the earlier part of the chapter. We looked at the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and we looked at faith and prophecy and miracles and healing. And we talked about them as being the potential experience of every one of us who are believers and filled with the Spirit, because they're the manifestations of the Spirit. And we talked about the expectation that we all ought to have as we come together, that God might, through us, minister these things to one another for the building up of the body. And then we moved on, of course, and we looked at the diversity within the body, diversity, but yet unity, one body, but many different parts. But I wanted to come back and look at a few of these other things that the apostle mentioned that were not in that initial list that he gave us, and we didn't really spend any time talking specifically about these. So I wanted to look at apostles, prophets, teachers, helps, and administrations. And so we'll skip over the miracles and the gifts of healing and tongues and so forth, because we've already addressed those, and we'll come back to them, especially tongues. We'll come back to that in chapter 14. But looking at this whole section here, and this whole subject of the baptism with the Spirit, the filling with God's power, and the giftings that he brings to us through this, and how all of this is for, ultimately, for the building up of the body of Christ, it's so important today, and it's important for us to understand just how desperately we are dependent on these gifts. God never intended that the church should run on human wisdom or human energy. Now, of course, there's going to be elements of human wisdom and human energy because we're human. But there has to be, if the church is going to be what God intends it to be, there has to be from us, there has to be a submission to God's wisdom and authority, and there has to be a radical dependence on him. We don't want to be depending on ourselves primarily. We want to be depending on the Lord, because God wants to be involved in his church. It's his church. It's not our church. It's our church in as much as we're a part of it, but he's the head of it. And the church has always gotten itself into trouble when it has become in any way, shape, or form disconnected from the head. Whenever men take over the church, whenever men try to run the church with human wisdom and human energy, at some point it crashes and burns. And that's happened over and over again in history. But yet we don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes. We can learn from the mistakes of others. And if we hold tight to the biblical model in the picture, and we just continue to trust the Lord, we can have confidence that we're going to be okay. And we're going to make it. Now, we today, I think we just so desperately need, as we said before, we need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. We need a fresh dependency on the Lord. We're living in a world that is so dark and getting darker with each passing day. You know, the things that are happening in our culture are just absolutely bizarre. And, you know, we look at the situation and, you know, is there any hope? Is there anything that can be done? Is there any possibility of reversing the trends that we see taking root and starting to really dominate our culture? Well, I can tell you this, there certainly is no hope on a human level that that's going to happen, apart from some kind of civil war or something like that. The only real hope for change is through the transformation of individual lives through the power of the gospel. And we who are God's people, whose lives have been transformed through the power of the gospel, he wants to equip us with the giftings of his Spirit so we can fulfill our purpose in the body and we can be part of the solution by extending the kingdom of God into the lives of others. And so this is all connected with this whole idea of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I was thinking today just about how God desires to be involved in all of the details of his church. You think back to the Old Testament and remember when there was to be the tabernacle constructed. And then later there was the temple was constructed. But I don't know if you remember this or not, but God was the one who drew up the blueprints for this thing. He gave the plan to Moses and said, okay, this is the plan. I want you to build it like this. I want you to build it exactly like this. Don't alter anything. Do it just as the plan states. And they did. Now, if God desired to have, you know, that kind of detailed involvement in the construction of this tabernacle that was made of wood and of animal skins and of, you know, silver and gold and those kinds of things, then how much more do you think he wants to be involved in the construction of his church? He wants to be involved. He wants to be very involved. He wants us to be inviting him in and depending upon him and saying things like, Lord, show us what to do. Tell us where we're to go from here. God, give us direction. Give us wisdom. Give us power. Fill us with understanding. He wants to do those things. And then he says, okay, here's the blueprint and you're going to build it, get the supplies. And he says, now here's a couple of guys. I've actually gifted these men to build this thing. I have put wisdom in their minds. I've put skill in their hands so they can actually do this. Now, again, think of it. The New Testament makes this comparison all the time. If the Old Testament was so glorious, then how much more the New Testament? If God had that kind of involvement to where he was actually filling and giving wisdom to these people to construct the tabernacle, then again, how much more does he want to do that today? So as we talk about these gifts again and looking at these particular ones here, just remember how necessary these things are and how dependent we are upon these things. And also what I want you to realize is that we are all candidates for various giftings. You see, God distributes according to his will. And each and every one of us are members of his body, as we've already seen. And each member has a function. And the function is a working of the Spirit in some way or another. So what our job is, so to speak, is to really find out, okay, Lord, what is my part? What do you have me to do? And then to realize that in order to do that, I've got to have a gifting to do that and to seek to cultivate it and exercise it and use it and, you know, just do all with it that God wants to do with it. I don't know, for some reason lately, I've just been not overwhelmed in a bad way, but just sort of overwhelmed about thinking about just, you know, leading the church in these days. And what it does to me is it just pushes me back to the Lord. Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your wisdom. Lord, show us. Work in our church. Lord, work in our community. Lord, work in our state. Work in our nation. Work around the world. And Lord, show us what we can do. Show us how to get the gospel to people. Help us to disciple people and build them up in the faith and raise them up as strong believers in you. But my point is, you know, we're all sensing just this urgency to cast ourselves on the Lord in full dependency so that he would truly be the one who's leading the church, that we're just taking orders from him. We're just getting our instruction from him. And so, looking at this section, we're talking about building the church with God's gifts. And again, these are the ones that I want to highlight: the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, and then helps, and then administrations or government. So, first of all, apostles. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, there again, Paul is talking about God's gifts that he gives. And there he makes that statement that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so here again to the Corinthians, Paul mentions in this particular order, first he says apostles. Now there's some debate amongst commentators as to whether Paul intends to put these in order of priority or if he just is simply, you know, putting them in this order, but not with, you know, apostles being the most important. But I think there's probably something to a prioritized order here, because the apostles are the ones who did the pioneering. They were the ones who, you know, went out with the gospel and laid the foundation for the churches. And although we don't have apostles today in the same exact sense that we think of them in ancient times and in biblical times, we do have apostles today. You might look at it, there's the capital A apostles and the lowercase a apostles. So the capital A apostles are the ones who were there in the beginning. They laid the foundation of the church. They were the ones who were inspired by God to write the scripture, and their ministry ceased with them and never to be repeated again. They were foundational, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:20. The foundation of the church was built upon the apostles and prophets. So there's never going to be another Peter that comes along or another Paul or another John and is going to add to the scriptural revelation. They're not going to come and add additional books in the future to what has already been said. That's already been done. So we don't have apostles like that today. But we do have apostles in a secondary sense still today. And I think we need to recognize that. I think one of our problems is we haven't recognized that there are people that have apostolic callings. And it's a different kind of a calling. It's not the typical pastor-teacher calling where you're at a church and you're established there and you stay there and you minister to a congregation and you might do that for your entire life. That is a gift of pastoring and teaching, but an apostolic gift is a different kind of a gift. It's a calling by God to go into places. The word apostle literally means sent one. So apostles are people who are sent by the Lord to particular places and groups of people. Apostles are pioneers. They're the ones who kind of go where no man has gone before, so to speak. They're the ones who launch out and go and you know, break ground and pave the way. And of course, an apostle would also need to be an evangelist, because they're going forth with the gospel. And so what we see the original apostles doing practically, like Paul, for example, going on his missionary journeys and so forth, and preaching the gospel and establishing churches, that's the kind of thing that we would expect from people with an apostolic ministry today. And the reason I said I think we need to acknowledge that today is because we need people to go out and pioneer. We need people to go out and pave the way for others. We need people to go out there and plant churches. And in order to do that, they need support. They need help in order to do that. And so just like many of the apostles originally, as they went forth, they were supplied by the churches to be out there doing that. That's a legitimate thing that we would do today as well. We recognize, man, this person has an apostolic gift, and we come alongside and we support them in their efforts to do this groundbreaking work. So they're pioneers, evangelists, church planters. They're foundation layers. According to Paul, this is, of course, where everything starts. So I can think of a few people that I know personally who I look at them and I think, you know, these guys really have apostolic callings. They have giftings from God. He sent them into countries maybe or regions of the world, and they've had an impact. They've not just started a local church, but they've been instrumental in starting maybe a group of churches that have then spread out through sometimes nations and sometimes crossing over borders of nations and covering regions. An important gift to recognize and to realize the necessity of that for our day. And then Paul mentions prophets. So what is the difference between an apostle and a prophet? It's hard to really distinguish what the difference is. In Acts chapter 13, when there's this group that's gathered together fasting and they're ministering to the Lord, and it's Paul and it's Barnabas and a group of a few others there. And then, you know, the Spirit says, you know, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to do. It's interesting because there in Acts 13, it says about them, there were certain prophets and teachers in the church, and then it lists these men. And Paul and Barnabas are among them. Now, of course, Paul would often be referred to primarily as an apostle, but in that particular case, he's referred to as a prophet. So I don't know exactly what the dividing line is between the apostle and the prophet, other than perhaps the prophet is a little more stationary than the apostle. The apostles were on the go. As you notice, if you follow Paul's ministry, you know, in the book of Acts, as you look at his different epistles, Paul did not stay in any one place for a real long period of time. The longest he stayed anywhere, as far as we know, is about 3 years. But he was always moving from place to place. And so perhaps the real distinction would just simply be one was more mobile than the other. But the prophets, their contribution or their task would be, they were proclaimers of the word of God, and in their proclamation, they would propel the church forward into the will of God. And I'm thinking of people today who are, in a sense, they have this kind of prophetic thing in their ministry where they're propelling the church forward. They're giving direction to the church as they speak the word of God. Sometimes they're giving counsel to the church. Sometimes they're giving comfort to the church. Now, they're not necessarily going around saying, hey, I'm a prophet, listen to me, I want to tell you what God says about the church. It's just as they use their gift of expositing the scripture, proclaiming the word, that's the kind of thing that's happening. I often think of it in, maybe contrasted with a pastor teacher, and where the pastor teacher's ministry tends to be localized. It tends to be for an individual congregation. I sometimes wonder if maybe the prophet's ministry, it's very similar in some senses, but it's broader. So a prophet has a broader voice. He speaks to more than an individual congregation. He speaks to the larger community of Christians. He speaks to the larger body of Christ. If you think of it in those terms, Many of the guys that you listen to regularly on the radio, their Bible teaching programs, I think those guys would in some senses fall into that category of having more of a prophetic kind of an office. So again, that's my particular take on it. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but these things, like I said, are a little bit difficult to, you know just exactly what the differences are. So apostles, prophets, but I think here just the idea of propelling the church forward into the will of God. There's an element of exhortation with the prophet. The prophet stirs people up. The prophet doesn't beat people over the head, but he stirs them up. And as those gifted men speak and women speak with that prophetic thing, there's a stirring and there's a like a guiding and a directing of God's people. You know, God is taking us somewhere. I kind of tend to believe that individual congregations, many of them, God has a particular will and calling for that congregation. And he moves a congregation in a certain direction. You know, not every congregation has a vision for missions or church planting or specifically for evangelism or things like that. But there are ones that really do, and I tend to think that that's that prophetic gifting, that's the Lord's leading the people in that direction. But then he mentions the teachers. So apostles, then prophets, and then teachers, he says thirdly. So what's the difference? Well, where the prophet proclaims the word and propels the church forward, those who are teachers, they establish and settle the believers in the faith. You see, we need both things. We need to be propelled forward, but we have to also be established and settled in the faith. If we're going to go forward and do anything productive, if we're going to do anything profitable, if we're going to do anything that's lasting, we have got to be well-rooted ourselves, right? And so that's the job of the teacher. And it's taking the text of the scripture and then giving the understanding of the text and then the application of the text for both the larger body and the individual believer. And let me say this, when each one of these things, again, we're talking about supernatural giftings here. When people really have these giftings, you know it. Like I said, nobody has to walk around saying, hey, I'm the apostle so-and-so, you know? I mean, anybody who does that, you know, to me, it's a little sketchy. You just sense that there's something there. Wow, you know, this, I know guys, I consider them to have apostolic giftings. They've never told me, hey, you know, I'm an apostle, watch it, you know. But I've even, you know, myself looked at them and said, you know, look, you've got an apostolic thing going here. So there's something there, or, you know, there's a prophetic thing. You recognize it. The body realizes it. And that teaching thing, too, it's just, you know, when it's there, you bear witness to it. You know that it's there because it's ministering to you. It's encouraging you. It's establishing you. You're walking away going, oh, that's amazing. I didn't understand that. Now it's clear to me. And all that helps me so much. It establishes me in this area. You know how that happens. That's what's happening when those gifts are functioning as they should be. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a wonderful thing. And it's an amazing thing, really, to think how God does this. You know, I've often marveled at how God can take one message and minister to hundreds or thousands of people at the same time who come from all different kinds of backgrounds and, you know, immediate problems and things. And the same message ministers in a different way to everybody. That's a supernatural thing. It couldn't happen just, you know, regularly. It's something that God does through these giftings.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Building the Church with God's Gifts, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0216. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.